This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Yeah. Hey, everyone all set, cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. Bert's with us. Welcome, Bert.
Glad to be here again, Vince. Hope everything's going well.
Yeah. Hey, you know, hour number one, Bert, we were talking about taxes. And for as long as you've known me, I've been preparing my own taxes. And darn close to 50 years now that we've known each other. And do you do your own taxes?
I do, but it's a combination because, you know, I have, you know, various different issues and things that, you know, I want to deal with a little at a time, so I hate to just turn something over. But I do seek advice because, you know, the tax law is so doggone complicated these days that, you know, you can't do it without seeking advice of a good accountant.
Well, I do. But my life is a little less complicated than yours because I don't have, I only have one corporation currently, and yeah, it's a farm and a radio broadcast. But actually, they're separate. But I've got a couple companies. But I prepare my own taxes, but it's a little different because tax laws in California are pretty darn complicated and they change early and often. And it's got to be a real challenge there, especially with securities involved and, you know, corporate governance, et cetera. Is that the issue?
Well, we do have the burden of state taxes, but the good news is it generally conforms to the same federal guidelines. You know who I feel sorry for is, any of our listeners who reside in New York City, where you have to deal with federal tax, state tax, and the city tax, and you know that they'll get you if you live on Long Island, which is not part of New York City, they'll hit you with New York City tax if you have clients or any type of business that relates to New York City. They'll still come after you for New York City tax. So it's so gosh darn complicated for a lot of New York residents. And, I mean, that's the least of what they face these days. And no wonder why, you know, we hear about so many people leaving New York for Florida. And I don't know, are you getting people over in your neck of the woods that are fleeing some of these over-regulated, very complex and many cases overtaxed cities and states?
Not really. And I think I know the reason why. When we were moving from Virginia to Missouri, there was a young man. He was in college, and he said, "You know, I'm looking forward to coming to visit you out there in Missouri as soon as I figure out where it is." So, you know, Missouri is kind of, it's still the Wild West. It doesn't make the news very often. And not much happening here other than St. Louis and Kansas City, you know, with high murder rates. But other than that, most of the state is kind of rural, and people don't know where it is, and it's way too hard. It's way too hard to live here compared to a big city. If you want to have it done, you're going to have to learn how to do it yourself if you live in rural Missouri. So, you know, even there's no sidewalk. In our little hamlet, there are no streetlights. There are no sidewalks. There's no, our little hamlet doesn't even have a mayor, or it's unincorporated. So we kind of run it ourselves. It's really kind of nice. So it's, we're on our own. So no, we're not having, it's not like, Montana where people are moving from California, to escape the high taxes. So it's not like that. They're not coming this far. And they're not coming this far from the East Coast either. So fortunately, we're too far from everything to have the influx of people who want services. And as a matter of fact, the people who govern, the county, they don't like the thought of Californians moving here or people from, especially from California, because they say if they think you're from California, they believe that you want all kinds of services and you're used to paying for them. And the people here don't want to pay for those services. They don't want sidewalks. They don't want streetlights. They don't want county governments. They don't want the taxes that go with it, because they've realized here that if you have government services, the government, it costs a fortune for those services. They're not free. You pay for it in their taxes. So people don't want it here. So fortunately, we don't have this influx of people who are demanding services.
So, you know, Vince, I heard a story, and you can tell me if there's any truth to this, that many years ago when you and Mrs. Finelli were living on the East Coast and you were thinking of getting out of there, that you laid out a map of the United States on your coffee table and got out a compass and tried to sketch where you could be furthest from any coast in the country. And as you ran the compass around in its semicircles, you came up with the Ozarks in Missouri. Is there any truth to that story?
Sort of. Let me say it this way. Here's what we did. We looked at a map of the United States, and we looked at where the nuclear reactors were. We looked at where the major pollution centers were. We looked at the major population centers. We looked at the tax rates. We looked at the distance between people. We looked at population density. We looked at weather patterns. We looked at soil conditions. We looked at crime rates. We looked at government help, meaning, you know, how many government buildings and offices and employees are there in that specific area that we'd have to pay for. So we looked at all those things, and we found that Missouri was probably, for us, was the best. Now, North Dakota would have been perfect, except for the weather. Okay, so North Dakota is freezing cold. So that kind of lets out North Dakota. So if you, second best would be Missouri, in our opinion. And we picked an area that had lots of farms that were run down, and lots of people who were interested in freedom. We were looking for the absence of sidewalks, the absence of electric power substations, the absence of high tension power lines, the absence of cell phone towers, the absence of smokestacks, all kinds of smokestacks, factory smokestacks, power generation smokestacks, all of those, you know, clean air, clean water, low taxes, freedom, all of those things went into the equation. And we found this little area in Missouri that was kind of perfect for us. And as a matter of fact, land was relatively inexpensive at that time. But, you know, it's not the kind of land that you can put a plow down in and start plowing up and raising corn. In some places you can, but in the county that we're in, but it's really rocky. So you've got to have a plow that can handle bowling ball-sized rocks, you know, at the minimum, if you're going to try to plow it. So, you know, there's, along with land that is really not great crop land, comes with lower cost of land and lower taxes. So I like the idea of low taxes. I really do. And I like the idea of freedom. So that's why we're here.
So I think we can say you used a real-world compass.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, maybe the word would be compi. Many compasses, right?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Well, so want to set the stage for what we're going to talk about the rest of the hour. Can you imagine if we knew there was going to be a major earthquake in a part of the country or, you know, some huge, terrible event, and we knew for certain this was going to occur. We knew for certain this will happen. And don't you think that the country would want to prepare for it as best it could to be ready when it struck, with everything we could do to counteract the effects that it would do on society and the country, share the, you know, everything that, that we had. Doesn't that sound logical that we would prepare for it?
Yeah, I can tell you for certain, I have lived through a 5.7 earthquake when Mrs. Finelli and I were in California in 1980, and the house we were in shook. Our Alaskan Malamute was terrified. He never jumped in the bed, but he did that time. You know, the walls were shaking, the china was shaking in the cabinets, and it's really unsettling because you don't know, are you better off inside? Or what about if you step outside? Is the earth going to open up right there where you're standing? You don't know. So it's terrifying, and there was all kinds of damage. All kinds of damage. That was only 5.7.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I would prepare. Absolutely.
Yeah, 5.7, just to let you know, that's considered medium, moderate. You know, I've lived through a 7.2, or, you know, it's been rated anywhere from 6.9 to 7.2, and that was the earthquake that we had here in 1989, I believe, during the World Series.
Okay, and was it terrifying? I bet you it was.
You know what? It wasn't, actually. I was in my car, and I thought I had car problems because the car was going back and forth. I go, is this my axle or what? So I pulled over. Then I noticed everyone else pulled over. The lady in front of me says, oh, you saw my car. Thank you for pulling over for me. Then it hit me that when I saw like 30 other cars all pulled over, that this was not, you know, 30 cars having car problems. It was an earthquake. And then I could look over and literally see the highway spiraling, you know, moving slow, you know, kind of in a sinusoidal pattern. So, but actually, it wasn't terrifying. My house held up fairly well. Unfortunately, some places didn't. We had a freeway collapse in Oakland, if you remember. We had part of San Francisco that was built on landfill literally collapsed, liquefied, and what got it then was gas fires, because your natural gas line to your water heater, I don't know if this is something you've talked about in the past, how dangerous it is, because you got a pilot light going all the time, and then any break in that gas line starts a fire. Fortunately, the new tankless heaters don't have a pilot light. They click on, so they're much safer. But that started so many fires. That probably caused as much damage as anything, just you know, water heaters catching on fire.
And I know that in California, when we lived there, building codes required something that is absolutely not required in the East Coast or here in Missouri that I know of, and that is that water heaters do not have to be strapped to the structure. So, for example, if you have a water heater in your garage, and a lot of them in California have water heaters in the garages, or even outside the house, hot water heaters outside have strapped to the building. So that if there is an earthquake, you know, they don't just fall over. So, yeah, it's a real problem.
Yeah, we have to strap them to the frame.
So,
so I'm setting the stage.
Right.
So that said, let me say we do know. So a little different event, but potentially as bad or even worse. We know for certain we will be hit by another solar storm. And that's what I want to talk about next. We know it's coming. We know when the last large one hit the Earth and about approximately how often they occur. So we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Bert's with us, and he's an electrical and electronic engineer patent holder in Silicon Valley, California.
In trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
It's gonna be sliding.
When are today's hot?
Watch it.
Oh
God, you're
take my.
When you go
for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Hertz with us, a senior science instructor, and we're talking about the effects of the solar storms, possibly, if we have time, climate change and effects from the sun and our solar system. Bert, back to you.
So we absolutely know that a solar storm will come and will have very catastrophic effects on the Earth. So let's talk about the storm, which I think you know about from 1859, otherwise known as the Carrington event. And I know we've talked about it before, and what I want to do is put it in the context of preparedness and natural disasters that occur from time to time that, you know, in most cases, we have no control over. They just happen. We can't control earthquakes, and we certainly cannot control solar storms. So in 1859, pretty much the most extreme storm in that we've been able to, categorize in history occurred, and it was so strong that telegraph operators were knocked off their chairs and electrocuted. Now, picture 1859. We had no radio. Telephone was being invented, but we didn't have it. We had certainly no type of electrical circuits other than relays and coils and some early transformers. And we had batteries, and we had some very primitive power sources. But telegraph was really the most advanced electrical technology that we had. And the storm was so strong in its effect on the planet that the telegraph wire, which is just a single strand usually working with the ground as the second return path, sometimes it can be two conductors, but usually just one. And that telegraph picked up the energy from the solar storm, zapped people. Nobody lost their life, but they were electrocuted. It also hit railroad lines, not the telegraph lines over that followed the railroad, but the actual rails that the trains travel on picked up this energy and were warped in that they couldn't use them until they were repaired. Could you imagine the level of energy required to literally warp a train rail? So just to put it in perspective how strong the effects were. There were no deaths that we know of, but the effect on very primitive electrical systems we had then gives us an kind of indication of what it would do to modern planet Earth with all the electronics and electrical systems. And in particular, the concern is our electrical grid. And that's really the number one concern of scientists that are trying to warn of this danger and the looming problem. And again, not to scare people, but we know absolutely this will occur again because they occur regularly. They occur. We had one in 1903, 1909, 1921, 1946, and so on. Now, not yet as strong as 1859, but we have had some that got close. And as we make progress on the Earth in terms of our infrastructure and electronics and electrical system, we're only more susceptible to these problems from storms from the sun.
Well, you know, I talked about this before, and I ran for a board of directors position at a local electric cooperative, and I ran four times over a 5-year period, and during one of those presentations, they only let me talk for a couple minutes. I gave a presentation on this exact thing, and do you know I was laughed at? The people thought I was just absolutely nuts, that we need to be concerned about the Carrington event, another one. Because my understanding is that they happen roughly every 75 years or so, and we're overdue. Is that right, Bert?
Well, we can go over the schedule, but I think for a very severe storm, we are absolutely overdue.
Yeah. Yeah, there you have it. So if we have one of these things, class, we are, well, I'll let Bert tell you. And we come back. Bert, how are we prepared? And what's the schedule like? We'll be right back with Bert Pertonis, Senior USA Prepared Science Instructor.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The United Kingdom and folks around the world are mourning the passing of Prince Philip, Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
It is to Her Majesty and her family that our nation's thoughts must turn today, because they have lost not just a much-loved and highly respected public figure, but a devoted husband and a proud and loving father, grandfather, and in recent years, great-grandfather.
A month short of his 100th birthday, Prince Philip's passion was design. 12 years ago, he talked about how designing has changed.
It obviously has changed, is that it's really corporate decision now. It's corporate taste as opposed to individual taste. I mean, if you go back to the 18th century, for instance, to make it, or the 19th century, all the desired advances were really created by individual taste.
USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
As the border crisis continues to deteriorate, sheriffs across America are alerting the president his policies are undermining the safety of American citizens. Wyatt Cox from the USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Nearly 300 sheriffs across the country are urging President Biden to secure the southern border and take more action against illegal immigration. A letter to the president, the officers claim the president intentionally undermining the agencies and their efforts to enforce the law. Among those who signed the letter, Bristol County, Massachusetts Sheriff Thomas M. Hodgson, who spoke to Fox and Friends.
Open borders don't work, and they're exposing our citizens to more transnational gangs, the violence in our communities, more drugs pouring into our communities, sex and human trafficking out of control, and now national security threats. And so we want the people of this nation, along with the sheriffs, to mobilize and let the president know that it's not okay to put his politics, and this is a reckless effort on his part, to put his politics before the safety and security of the people of this nation and our efforts to keep our promise and our oath to keep them safe.
The sheriff's asking the president to act now to change course before public safety resources become overwhelmed.
According to the National Sheriff's Association, there are 3,081 sheriff's offices in America as of 2015. NASCAR is under the lights Saturday night in Martinsville, Virginia, 7:30 p.m. on FS1 and Motor Racing Network. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Bert's with us. Bert, so what's the schedule look like for the next Carrington type event, next solar superstorm?
Sure. Well, it depends how you calculate it. And honestly, we don't know, is there a schedule that actually so many years have to tick off, or is it just totally random? In other words, it looks like, you know, let's say every 50 years or every 60 years or whatever, or is it just that, you know, when you, you know, randomly shuffle something, that just seems to be how it comes up? We don't know. But what we do know is they're more likely to occur during solar maximum. So let's talk about that. The solar cycle has an 11-year period where eruptions and emissions from the sun, and I'm not talking about the sunlight that we all you know, get our warmth from. But other storms that occur on the sun occur in what we call 11-year solar cycles. And right now, we're coming out of a minimum. 2020 was the absolute minimum. It was a very, very low year in terms of the solar cycle. It was a very small amount of discharges from the sun in 2020. But we can look at a maximum coming in about 5 years, really four to five years. Let's say somewhere around 2025 or so, we can expect to be at a new solar maximum. And that is when we're certainly more likely to have a mass coronal discharge than, let's say, at a solar minimum. We know that's at play. But is there a 40-year cycle or a 50-year cycle? We're not sure. So I can say that we did have probably the second strongest solar eruption in 1921. And let's talk about what happened there. It was not as strong as 1859, but it did more damage because by 1921 we did have electronics, although it was tube electronics, which is much less susceptible to these type of problems than, let's say, semiconductor technology would be. But in 1921, that storm, although much smaller than 1859, it knocked out radio lines. It knocked out all types of telephone equipment. In fact, the telephone cable that went to England was blown up in 1921 during that geomagnetic storm. So it was already affecting our early type of electrical systems, our communication systems, telephone, electrical. Now, the electrical grid held up okay in 1921, which we did have. You know, we were electrifying part of the country by then. So, I mean, if we take 1859 to 1921, what do we come up with? We add those years, we come up with 1983. We did not have a storm in 1983, but we did have, you know, maybe the third strongest of the last couple of hundred years in 1989. And that one seemed to hit the northern hemisphere of the Americas. And if you remember, and a lot of people won't remember this, but the power grid of Quebec was completely knocked out during that solar storm. It was completely knocked out. And it's known as the March 1989 geomagnetic solar storm. And again, no, not as strong as 1921 and certainly not as strong as 1859, but we had more infrastructure and therefore there was more susceptibility.
Did we lose Bert?
No, I'm here. I'm pausing.
Oh, okay.
You
dropped out for a second. During that 1989 storm, that solar storm, if I remember correctly, people were trapped in elevators, and it was terrifying for them because they were trapped. The doors wouldn't open. The elevators wouldn't go up and down. Business, everything stopped. You couldn't buy anything, you know, in the affected area. Is that correct? That's how I remember it.
Oh yeah. Oh, there was a blackout. I mean, all the things that happen when you do not have electricity. I mean, you know, we know what happens. I mean, gas stations can't pump gas. Elevators stall. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people have backup power, for sure. But all the things that happen when you lose electricity, it's funny when you think about things that you might not consider you wouldn't have if you lose power. Think again, because we depend on electricity for almost everything.
Okay, so the schedule is we don't know, but the last one was 1989, but the last big one was 1859. Okay, so when we look at electronics today, would you say that as electronics become more and more sophisticated, as the size of the semiconductors gets smaller and smaller, as the density density population of the integrated circuits, chips, memory, etc., processors becomes more dense, those devices are more susceptible than the older devices, like the vacuum tube devices and the, you know, the discrete transistor devices? Would you say that the newest and latest, greatest technology is more susceptible than the older technology?
Well, actually, Vince, probably not. Here's the interesting thing. Those electronics you're talking about, what they're more susceptible to is, sadly, a neutron bomb or some type of atomic blast or something akin to that. The solar storms don't seem, we don't think, to affect microelectronic circuitry the same way that type of event would, you know, a neutron bomb or some type of atomic explosion. The microelectronics actually might survive. What's not going to survive is electrical equipment. It just seems we're talking about different types of frequencies, much lower frequencies, and much stronger but lower effects that brought down the Hydro-Québec power system in 1989. So one of the susceptibilities is the transformers on the power system, where we're dependent on transformers all along to convert the voltage. As you know, basically for long distance, you want to send very high voltages in many thousands of volts to overcome IR losses. Basic formula of electronics is the resistance, current, and voltage. So if you want to have less loss, use a higher voltage, which will overcome any resistance. But the transformers that are utilized, we have a very finite supply and very limited suppliers. And one thing we could do, and some scientists have been warning about this, is build a reserve of those transformers. So when this storm does hit, we'll be able to, as soon as possible, replace those transformers, which we feel are one of the most vulnerable pieces in the electrical system.
Okay, my understanding is that we don't make many of those transformers, and each transformer at a power substation is unique, meaning it was designed for that exact location, that current rating, etc., and there's only one of them, and that's the one that's being used right now. So if it gets destroyed, whether intentionally or through an act of nature, there is no replacement that is off the shelf. It has to be manufactured, and it could take years, depending on the supply chain. Is that correct?
So that's correct. That's absolutely correct. And, you know, we look at all the money the government's spending now on God knows what. It would take just a tiny, tiny fraction. I mean, we're talking, you know, maybe a few $100 million to purchase and supply a reserve of transformers and other electrical equipment that we would need.
Okay, you know, so that's something that President Joe Biden could say. Well, you know, we won't study the mating patterns of blue frogs anymore. We're gonna devote that to protecting the electrical grid infrastructure. And I think you should do that. Absolutely. Matt Stein, who's no longer with us, he's passed away, has been talking about this for about 10 years. How this kind of thing could happen, and for a very almost an insignificant amount of money, we could fix it. But for some reason, the utility companies, the government, just doesn't seem to be interested. And I don't get it. I don't get it. We have a strategic oil reserve. We do. We have a nuclear stockpile. We've got weapons ready at the ready. We've got ships cruising around looking for something to blow up. But what we don't have is spare parts for our electrical grid. Please continue.
Yeah, so one other very interesting thing about what happened to Québec, because you might ask, gee, is it that narrow that it only hit Québec? Actually, it hit the whole northern hemisphere, but the reason this particular storm hit Québec is it had something to do, we now believe, with the land of Québec. And so when the solar current hit the Earth, decided they enjoyed going over the high voltage lines of the power system more than going into the land, into the earth, which is so interesting. It kind of reminds me of lightning. When lightning's looking for a path, it'll find whatever is the best path. You know, hopefully it's a lightning rod to take it off and keep it from going through your home. But something like that happened. And because of the land, you know, the earth that Quebec is, the currents didn't like it. But they go, hey, look at this power grid. Let's discharge through there. And that's exactly what happened. And that's why Quebec got hit, we think, more than other parts of the Americas. I find that fascinating.
And that was the question that I asked when you and I were at Marley Woods looking for UFOs. And there's this UFO hotspot in Missouri. And the question I asked was, what's with this spot? Is it the land? Is there a high concentration of iron or metallic material in this area that is causing the UFOs to like it? And what you're talking about is, I think, something similar, isn't it?
Well, we're talking about apples and Volkswagens here. We can discuss Marley Woods another
time. I know that. I know that. But I'm talking about the physics of why these balls of light like this particular area and why the solar storm liked the power lines versus didn't like the earth in Quebec.
Yeah. Something to do with what's under the earth, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. That explains why
we're not
Quebec.
Prepared.
Now,
we're not
will
prepared.
The next storm yeah. have polar attributes? We don't know.
Okay, so it sounds to me like we are flat out not prepared. Is that correct?
Nowhere near prepared enough.
Okay, and when we come back, will you have time to address what we can individually do? You know, but, you know, assuming that the grid goes down, 99.9% of people aren't going to have electricity, but is there something we can do to protect what we do have? We'll be right back with Bert Pertonis.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place place to advertise your business. One of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Perch with us. And Bert, I have a quick question. It seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that the solar storms do not directly harm people. I mean, not instantaneously when this storm hits us. Is that correct?
We have no evidence that they hurt people, but, you know, we're only learning about what are the effects of EMF on human beings. But everything it looks like, you know, data we collected from 1921 storm, for instance, seems to be people were fine, although the 1921 storm, I think, let's not discount that one. Do you know that caused hundreds of fires throughout United States and Europe because we had more telegraph and telephone lines at that time. So literally the currents were causing electrical explosions in the telephone switching circuits and setting telephone central offices on fire. This didn't happen once or twice. It happened many, many times. I mean, think about it. If this happened today, the news that it would make. I mean, literally, flames engulfed a railroad switching station in New York City. And it was, I mean, you can look up the newspapers and see this. So, but yes, Vince, it seems like these frequencies, these waves, these currents, people seem to be okay. But you certainly don't want, you know, to have this number of fires, which is, so you should always be fire preparedness. But we can talk if you want about how to be electrical preparedness
yes.
in your home. Yes,
please do that in the remaining time we have.
Yeah, I mean, learn, and this could have to do with earthquakes or fires or anything, learn how you can make your home self-sufficient, at least in a temporary short-term basis. If the electrical system goes down, and that can be, first of all, if possible, put surge protectors in all your circuits going to your house and, you know, master surge protectors in your panel and then surge protectors all around different rooms. But having a battery backup system, I think, is a good thing. And I'm looking at putting one in my home. And, I mean, for nothing else, that electrical electrical costs are lower at night, and you can save money, but really for just short-term backup of power. So you can do that. There's other measures that you can take to help your home if you lose power. I know you have a very elaborate system how you've wired your house, and you can certainly prioritize which circuits will stay active supplying power if you lose electricity. And Vince, do you have a battery backup for your solar panels?
Yeah, I do. I do. We have a massive battery bank for the solar panel, and then for the solar system, and then we have another one that I use to ride out the short-term interruptions, which I'm calling a whole house UPS. So I took roughly a 1,000-watt UPS system, uninterruptible power, and I have outlets throughout the house, including in the studio, that I use to protect the electronics. So there's many levels of electrical protection. We have whole house surge protector. Then we have each subpanel has surge protection at the subpanel level. Then we have surge protection at the use level. And we have uninterruptible power, which has additional surge protection. So many levels. But I had a question for two quick questions. One is for those who have underground power rather than power lines, you know, bringing power to their houses and so forth. Ours is underground. If there is a solar event like we had before, will the underground conduit with the cables, the 240-volt cables running through it, will that attenuate over distance that solar pulse? Will it attenuate it to ground, or is it no different from having above-ground wiring?
The shielded conduit, I think it'll help.
Okay, next question. Automobiles, trucks, light trucks, cars, electric cars, gas-powered cars, diesel-powered cars. Today, they all have computers, many computers. Even if they're not electric vehicles, they've got lots of computers. Do you think that the vehicles will succumb to an EMP? Do you think they'll just stop dead in their tracks?
Well, an EMP from an atomic blast will hurt them, but coronal mm-hmm. mass ejection is what we're talking about, and cars should be okay. Cars in 1921 were okay. Of course, they didn't have computers. But,
right.
But Vince, can I just sum up and say, you know, we were going to touch on climate change, and we'll do that another time, but this is something I think we need to be much more aware of and concerned about, at least right now, than climate change on the planet.
Okay. So in summary, one of the biggest threats that we have is a coronal mass ejection solar storm, as in 1859, 1929, 1989, that had significant devastating results. So that's one of the top priorities as you see it. I see it as well.
Yes.
All right. Well, let me know when you'd like to come back on, and we'll make room and time. Your broadcasts are always informative, educational, and worthwhile. Bert, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate it. Class, we'll see you on
Thank
Monday.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.